ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 14 and 15. So, we'll be reciting text 15. Swayam eva atmanatmanam vetam tava purushottamam bhutubhavena bhutesha deva deva jagatpate session. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency, O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe. So, we'll all also read text 14 and the translation purport, then we'll come to the purport of text 15. Text 14, Sarvam etadritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagvan vyaktim vidur devana danava. Translation, O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Purport. Arjun herein confirms that persons of faithless and demoniac nature cannot understand Krishna. He is not known even by the demigods, so what to speak of the so-called scholars of this modern world? By the grace of Supreme Lord, Arjun has understood that supreme truth is Krishna and that he is a perfect one. One should therefore follow the path of Arjun. He received the authority of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, as described in the fourth chapter, the parampara system of disciplic succession for the understanding of Bhagavad Gita was lost, and therefore Krishna re-established that disciplic succession with Arjun because he considered Arjun his intimate friend and a great devotee. Therefore, as stated in our introduction to Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita should be understood in the parampara system. When the parampara system was lost, Arjun was selected to rejuvenate it. The acceptance by Arjun of all that Krishna says should be emulated. Then we can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita, and then only can we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjan Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So, now we are reading chapter 10, text 14 and 15. So, basically, Lord Krishna has just spoken about his glories, and now Arjun is confirming. Very interesting thing is that Arjun is speaking all this even before seeing the Virat Roop. He hasn't seen the actual glorious form which Krishna has, which can actually be called godly in those terms. So people of this world, especially if we see other religions, their conception of God is not as perfect and as complete as what the Vedas describe, which is the personality of God. If you see Moses, the prophet of Judaism, he saw God as a fire in the bush. The fire was there, but the bush was not burning into ashes. It was still remaining and the fire was also there. Or some people say he saw the back of God. Prophet Muhammad, when he is described to see God, it was like a very dazzling effulgence. And if you see, if Gita is to be described as a book of Hindus or Sanatana Dharma, so the conception of God which it describes in the universal form is really great, because it shows all the beings, all the time, entire universe, and it's very vast, elaborate description is there. And some people actually feel that this is the highest revelation of Gita, but this is not, because just after seeing that universal form, Krishna tells Arjun that you please show me your beautiful human-like form. And some people may feel that this human-like form is imposing man's qualities on God. But it's the other way around, because the qualities of God are shown in the humans to a minute degree. And even in Bible it is said that man is created in the image of God. So here, very interesting thing is coming up, that unless Arjun is saying that neither the demigods nor the demons or Lord can understand you personally. And Prabhupada is saying if demigods and demons cannot understand, what to speak of ordinary people. So we find that modern day man, it's the most important thing first of all is to convince him that God exists. Like one boy, he came to me in a college where I preach. He said, you know, what is the fastest growing religion of the world? So I was thinking like, what it is? He said, it's atheism. So it was very amusing for me, because how can a religion which has no God, a philosophy which has no God, be called as a religion? But nowadays we find that there is a big plethora of books, literature of atheistic propaganda coming up in the world. We have books, people like, I don't feel like naming them, but all of you probably know. And they are propagating that God doesn't exist. And they go into very elaborate details and discussions, books, forums, websites and all. And one person, he was asked, that supposing in the end of the day, after the end of your life, you actually come to know that God existed. So what will you tell God? So he said, I'll simply tell God, God, there was very less evidence, very less evidence, very less evidence of your existence. So this is their hardcore conviction. But Prabhupada very simply tells us that even if we simply see the design in the nature, we can find that there is some intelligence behind it. We have Indian Ocean here, and we find that water evaporates. Prabhupada gives a very nice description of the water cycle. He says we have water here in the sea, and there is salt mixed in it, so that this water doesn't become spoiled. Then it is distilled, the vapors evaporate, they go in clouds. So what are clouds? They are airborne water carriers, and they are plane resistant. And planes can pass through them, but they won't get punctured. And they can carry like thousands of gallons, unimaginable amount. And they go, and then they cause rain. And rainfall is there, and the rains, they come through the rivers, which are like veins, and they nourish all the land of whichever country. And then part of it is stored as snow. So Prabhupada compares it to like overhead tank, like storage tank, which throughout the year gives you water. And many times that water is also through the underground canals, the rivers, and it's also perennial. Throughout the year it exists. So he says that such is the arrangement made by God. We see that God gives us air, God gives us sunlight. And some atheists may come and say that, okay, if God has actually created, I should see it. Like we challenge atheists that if you say that there isn't God, then create life and show us from basic chemicals, which they cannot. Then they may challenge that, why you should call your God and ask him to create? Let me see. So then Prabhupada answers, and I was searching for the answer for a long time, because this was one argument somebody put before me. So then Prabhupada in one conversation, he says that God has actually already created. You didn't create, your scientists didn't create, then who created? God created. He has already done so. His turn is over. Now the ball is in your court. You have to create life. So that is a thing. And many times we find people, especially in India, that although they may have some belief in God, but it's very like a social kind of belief. It's not a very strong personal conviction that motivates them to make some personal change in life. For them, God is an obligation, or God is like some social convention to go to his temple once a week, to pray to him, just as a karmakand ritual, or as a something in exchange for getting some goodwill, or so that nothing bad happens at least. This is one thing. I was speaking to some boys and I was asking them like, what is the thing which prevents you from joining Krishna consciousness? Joining Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that somebody shaves up, wears saffron and comes, but even like very good householders, exemplary householders, they are also a big asset to the movement. So my point was simply, what is the thing which is preventing you? So they said, one of them said, you know, actually we don't want to overindulge. We want to do our thing also, and we also want to maybe come once in a while for lecture, but don't tell us to chant, don't tell us to come to temple for programs. it's okay, you come to our place, okay, we'll attend. Prasadam is always welcome. That is their idea. So, I was wondering that this idea of God is like a, like one person compared it, he said we treat God as like a spare wheel in the car. That only when there is some problem we bring him. But actually he should be like a steering wheel, guiding us in our life. So this is the difference which we find. And here Arjun also says that actually it is not anyone's fault. Only by Krishna's mercy we can actually know. So like we also see when Krishna was present, there were people like Duryodhan who couldn't recognize him. And although Krishna partially showed his universal form, still he was like very skeptical. And even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, we have one interesting pastime. That when Mahaprabhu, he was in Jagannath Puri, at that time there was Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He was a head priest of the king of Odisha and one of the most learned scholars at that time. And Mahaprabhu actually wanted to, and he belonged to the same native place as Mahaprabhu, and also had some family relationship through his maternal grandfather. So Mahaprabhu actually wanted to convert him into Vaishnavism because he was a Mayavadi, believing that God's form is, God doesn't have any form. So when Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, he saw Lord Jagannath and he fainted in ecstasy. And somehow Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was very attracted by the beautiful form of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was like very tall, effulgent and young sannyasi. And he felt natural compassion, and by checking his bodily features he could make out that this fainting was not an ordinary kind of physical disease, but a very high level of ecstasy. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya picked him up, brought him to his house, and then the party which was following Lord Chaitanya, they arrived. And one of them was a relative of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya who happened to know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Gopinath Acharya. And then he tells that actually you don't know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Supreme God himself. And like we see that any big professor is always followed by his students wherever he goes. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya had his own band of students, and they said, how you can say like this? Where in the Shastras it is written that God comes in Kali Yuga? Like that challenging was going on. And then Gopinath Acharya says, one cannot attain real knowledge of God by logical hypothesis and arguments. It is only by his mercy. Anuman pramanana hai ishwar tattva gyane. He said one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by Kripa, not by Anuman Praman or by guesswork hypothesis. And then he says, Ishwarer Kripalesha Hayato Yahare Saite Ishwara Tatva Jani Bare Pare. If one receives a tiny bit of Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of Supreme Lord. And he quotes one verse. Athapi te deva padambujo dvaye prasad leshanu grihat evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichiram vichanvan. And he said if we only get the mercy of the lotus feet of Lord, only then we can actually understand. But even if somebody study Vedas for years and years, he cannot understand if Lord doesn't have mercy. So even Brahma Samhita says, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlab Atma Bhakto, that even if somebody reads Vedas, somebody may be big scholar, he will not be able to understand Supreme Lord. So Satsaru Maharaj, one of the very early disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he described one incident. He was a part of the library party which used to distribute Prabhupada books in big libraries of USA. So he would often meet scholars who specialized in Indian philosophy, and many of them scholars of Rupa Goswami and Bhakti literature. And he would describe how they would discuss they would have some meeting and would be actually drinking, and God knows what they would be eating. And then they were discussing all the, you know, Rupa Goswami has written this, and this Jeev Goswami has written this. And this literature is like something which we worship. And they would be discussing it over a glass of wine. So this is their level of understanding God. All the big scholars must be PhDs, but cannot answer. Like once one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a letter to a professor asking him permission. He wanted to preach in a university, and the university was not giving him permission to address the students. So he wrote a letter to a professor that, okay, you recommend me. So professor wrote the reply in Sanskrit, very well knowing that the disciple couldn't answer. And just at that time, Prabhupada was there in the temple, and disciple showed the letter to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada immediately dictated a letter, reply, but reply was in English, but with lot of Sanskrit verses. And he said, don't sign my name, but write your name. So the devotee signed, and then he said that we are not so learned in Sanskrit, that's why we are not replying, but this is the gist. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai. And that was it. So, but we find that sometimes people who are illiterate, but if they have devotion to God, they can very easily perceive. Like, what you speak of past things, even now, if you go in ISKCON Belgaum temple, there is one devotee, he is blind. And he stays in temple. So I remember I was there in Belgaum, so early in the morning, around 2:33, I got up to answer nature's call. So the ashram is on the first floor, and on the ground floor, it's an open corridor, and he has a small place of staying over there. I'll describe what place he has. And I got up and there was pitch dark below, and I could hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I was like wondering, who is this so attached to holy name? It was so dark, I was scared even to peep down. and then again I got up at around 3:40, and still it was dark by the time we had to get ready for Mangal Aarti. And I asked one devotee, like, who is this person chanting below? I mean, he can't see, there should be some light. So he said that whether it's darkness or light doesn't make any difference to him, because he is blind. And I was like shocked. Then I said, you show me where he is. And early morning that devotee came, and blissfully chanting, dancing, reciting all prayers, Mangal Aarti prayers, Tulsi Aarti, staying for Japa, then coming for Guru Puja, Darshan, staying for Bhagavatam class. And I was shocked. And he stays in the corridor below, and initially the temple gave him a hut to stay. But he made his own mosquito net, big tent. He sewed it with the used sacks of rice and dal. They are plastic, so he cut them and sewed him himself and made a tent. And I was shocked. I said, how can you do this? He said, Krishna helps me. And when Sunday feast cooking is there, he folds it nicely, stuck it up, and then again he opens it. And he's very sturdy. And there's so many mosquitoes there, but no mosquito bites him. And he's very special. So I asked him, like, don't you feel bad that you cannot see, take darshan? He said, no, I don't feel bad. Krishna is there in his holy name. And I chant. And he daily chants a minimum like 30 to 64 rounds. And before Mangal Aarti, temple Mangal Aarti, he sings his own Mangal Aarti, all prayers. Alone he will sing, alone he will clap, Hare Krishna, full. And then he will chant all the prayers. And in the evening, he'll chant bhajans. And other time he would just keep on chanting on his beats. Just walk, chant. And I said, how long do you sleep? I said, I hardly get sleep, 2-3 hours. Rest of the time I just chant and pray. So I was thinking, like, when people are there, big, big philosophers, writers, professors in the modern world, scientists, they cannot see God. And he is a person who doesn't have vision, but actually can see the hand of God in his life. The words, like the prayer, the songs which we read, they feel like very heavy for us. we are not able to penetrate their deep meaning. But Krishna has actually revealed their deeper meaning into his heart. And he can get a vision from his heart of the Supreme Lord. Whereas we people with eyes, actually, we can actually not see God without faith. So that is the power of the process of bhakti. And that is how Arjuna is telling here. So that's what Brahma Samhita also says, that Videshu Durlabham Adurlabha Atma Bhakto. For bhakta, for a devotee, it is adurlab. It is very easily seen. And here also he says, Gopinath Acharya, Ishwarer Kripalesha Nahi Kato Mate Ateva Ishratata Na Pare Janite. He said, Ishwar Kripa Lesh Nahi Kato Mate. Even Lesh Kripa also you don't have. That's why you cannot see God properly. You cannot recognize Lord Chaitanya. Later on is we see that how Sarvam Bhattacharya, he served Mahaprabhu, and actually by Mahaprabhu's mercy he could recognize that he is Supreme Lord and he surrendered to him. So now we'll come to the text 15, because that is also very interesting. Translation. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency, O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, gods of God, God of gods, Lord of the universe. Purport. The Supreme Lord Krishna can be known by persons who are in a relationship with him through the discharge of devotional service, like Arjun and his followers. So this is in continuation of the previous verse. Persons of demoniac or atheistic mentality cannot know Krishna. Mental speculation that leads one away from Supreme Lord is a serious sin, and one who does not know Krishna should not try to comment on Bhagavad Gita. So then we can see that somebody who says that I am actually atheist, it is just my way of thinking. But actually if this person propagates his thinking to other people, this is a sin, according to what Prabhupada writes here. Because he's indirectly leading, directly also leading people away from God. In fact, one devotee was telling me that in Tamil Nadu, some time back, it was a very religious biased place. But then one person, he came up and by his writing, he created doubt in the mind of people and made them atheistic. And now we see that so many other sub-religious, anti-religious things are going on in such states. Prabhupada also said that communists never came to India. Only through their literature they spread their atheistic propaganda, and it spread. So that's why it's so important for us to distribute Krishna conscious teachings and literature. And Bhagavad Gita is the statement of Krishna, and since it is the science of Krishna, it should be understood from Krishna as Arjuna understood it. It should not be received from atheistic persons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vadanti tat tatva vidas tattvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti parmatmeti bhagwaneti shabdete. The supreme truth is realized in three aspects: as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and at last as the supreme personality of Godhead. So at the last stage of understanding the absolute truth, one comes to the supreme personality of Godhead. A common man or even a liberated man who has realized impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma